Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another edition of Sports and a Legend, along with my co-host Macaulay Matthew. I'm, of course, William Rameau. What's up, Mac? How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing good, man. How's it going?
I'm doing good, man. You know, before Friday night, I was planning on talking about the draft because, you know, both the Jets and the Giants did so well on the draft. You know, I was thinking about doing about the NBA, the NBA playoffs and, you know, the possible move the Knicks may or may not do, you know. And, of course, also wrestling as well. But and we'll also get to all those stuff. But I don't know. I feel like I'm forgetting about something major that happened recently.
Oh, yeah?
Memorable. I don't know.
Hmm.
It's not about my girl. I'm thinking about a dude named Tyler Miguel, maybe? Like this.
Combined for the second no-hitter in New York Mets history. Edwin Diaz puts on the finishing touches, striking out the side of the ninth inning, and the Mets celebrate their second ever no-hitter, by Tyler McGill, finished by Edwin Diaz, as the Mets no-hit the Phillies.
Put it in the books. The New York Mets, last night, they for the first time ever in their history, threw a combined no-hitter, a five-man no-hitter.
Wow.
The party of five was definitely in attendance last night, as Tyler McGill, Drew Smith, Jolie Rodriguez, the former Yankee from the Miguel Castro trade. I'm trying to think who else. Seth Lugo, and then of course, Sugar. Edwin Diaz, the closer, struck out the side. Maybe you're thinking, it's in the bottom of the night. Maybe you struck out some random dude, call-up dude, on the Phillies. Do the names Bryce Harper, Nick Castellanos, and JT Realmuto ring a bell? Because those are all the guys he struck out when he struck out the side to secure the 17th no-hitter, combined no-hitter in Major League history, and the 315th no-hitter overall. So congratulations to the New York Mets. They,
congrats.
They got their second ever no-hitter, almost a 10-year anniversary from the Johan Santana controversial no-hitter on June 1st of 2012. So
let me ask you a question.
Yes.
If a team is no hitting, why do you need five pitchers? I mean, you think like use the same pitcher, right? That team can't hit. They're not getting any hits. Why do you need five pitchers to finish the game?
Well, that's a very good question. because the funny thing is, I do remember there. June 11 has a lot of very funny no hitters. Like for one, June 11th. 1938, Johnny Vandeveer threw a no-hitter. And then 4 days later, June 15th, 1938, he threw another one. So he was the first person to throw back-to-back no-hitters. And then fast forward, June 11, 2003, Roy Oswalt, he was pitching two innings. He got hurt. And then the Astros, six pitchers, and then that final pitcher was the future Met, Billy Wagner, and he secured that six-person no-hitter. And, of course, that was against the New York
Yankees. Uh-huh.
Yeah, so, it's possible, man. It's crazy. I mean, this multiple no-hitter thing is, it's only the 17th time ever, but now it's going to look like it's going to be the trend because just a pitcher going, complete games is a rarity, so this looks like this is the wave, especially with all these managers, minor league managers doing the bullpenning / openers, games. So this, the rarity of a no-hitter, especially a old school complete game no-hitter, it's going to be even rarer than usual. And you're going to affect. What were you going to say?
Didn't people criticize the Dodgers manager a couple weeks ago about taking Kershaw out early again because he was pitching a no-hitter, I think?
Oh, yeah. And I was definitely one of the people who felt Dave Roberts should have left him in. I understand he didn't want to get hurt. But going for a perfect game, man, seven innings, I mean, you got to go for it. You got to go for history. I know Kershaw threw a no-hitter before, but this is a perfect game. You can't deny people of history. And I felt when I found out what's his name when Miguel was taken out too, I felt the same exact way too. I mean, did I think they were going to get the no hitter? No, but I felt as long as the game is going, as long as the person doesn't give up a hit, you have to leave him in the game. And earlier this year, the Mets Scherzer, he had a no hitter broken up in the seventh. I think two outs in the seventh. So. You have to leave the person. I'm old school, you got to leave the pitcher in, And hey, if he gives up a hit, he gives up a hit. But you can't rob him from history. from the history books.
I agree.
You know, the Mets, they could not be denied, man. They're in the history books already. They've won, for the first time ever, they won 6 straight series, you know, dominating the Phillies, the D-backs, the Nationals, the Giants. It's been the Nationals. I mean, you know, the Mets, you know, their Mets are not playing, man. I mean, they've been hit, you know, more than anybody, you know, in the game, like, well, at least 19 times or so. And then, from my knowledge, the Pirates haven't been hit at all. But the Mets have been, like, hit, and most of the times they've been hit shoulder high, like, near the head. And Alonso got hit in the head, like, I think twice or so, maybe. Alonso got hit in the head. Lindor got hit in the head, you know, and there was almost a near brawl, a mini brawl, you know, between, you know, the Mets and, you know, Arenado and the Cardinals a few days ago. But, yeah, the Mets right now, like I said, they won six straight series. But unfortunately, like, it seems like every time I'm about to do this show, after they have a big win, then they have a clunker of a loss in this show, you know, right, just leading up before the show. And tonight was no different. You know, the Mets, they had a 1-0 lead into the sixth, and they gave it up. Arevino gave up, I think, a 2-run home run to Schwarber. And the Phillies end up winning by the final score of 4-1. So now the Mets, they have Scherzer on the mound, ESPN game tonight, or should I say tomorrow night. And now the Mets are in jeopardy of losing a series for the first time this year. So they got Scherzer on the mound. They got future Hall of Famer on the mound. You know, hopefully Scherzer can bring his A game and shut down this Philly offense, you know, because Miguel didn't have his best stuff, but, you know, he was able to, you know, bear down and you know, get the no-hitter, you know, the combined no-hitter. And the funny thing is that all the other pitchers, Miguel and all the other pitchers didn't even know that they had a no-hitter. It was only Diaz that knew. Diaz was the only pitcher that knew before he pitched that there was a no-hitter to close out the game. And James McCann, he knew.
How did they not know? They didn't look at the scoreboard?
Apparently not. They didn't look at the scoreboard until after they finished.
That's weird.
I know. And Drew Smith, when he ended the inning, the fans were erupting. He's like, "Wow, must have been really good." Like, he didn't even realize that they had a no hitter going.
Wow.
And Nimmo did an awesome play on Friday night, diving play. And then of course, what was I gonna say? Diaz and McCann knew, like, basically, I think after Miguel left in the fifth, but he didn't tell anybody, you know. So in the ninth inning, basically Miguel and McCann, you know, they knew about the no-hitter, and basically Diaz revealed after the game that he was shaking him off, like, you know. You know, like when the pitcher acts like, you know, the pitcher is indecisive to know what pitch he's going to throw or what selection or what the signs are and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
Well, Diaz admitted that he lied. He was faking it to throw the Phillies off balance, you know. Uh-huh. And basically he said he threw whatever McCann wanted him to throw. And, you know, this was McCann's second ever no-hitter that he caught, because he caught Giolito's no-hitter 2 years ago with the White Sox, you know. But this was his first time with fans, because, of course, you know, that was, you know, the COVID era, you know, like when everything shut down for the most part. But yeah, this was a big win. This is definitely a
much needed win.
Oh, what you gonna say?
A much needed win.
Oh yeah, much needed win. and you know, hopefully a harbinger of things to come, you know, for this Mets team. You know, who knows? We'll see what happens. And then shifting gears, you know, with the Yankees, and you know, the Yankees have been playing a lot better lately. You know, what was I gonna say? I'm trying to remember who Rizzo. He had like three home runs one game a few days ago.
Yep.
Stanton, I think, hit his 350th home run recently. So congrats to both of them.
Congrats.
But you know, what's your thoughts on the state of the Yankees right now?
Yeah, the Yankees, they're playing real well, and I feel like their offense, they haven't even peaked yet. Offensively, the pitching has been solid, but offense, you know, I still feel like they can improve. But after tonight's win, they've now won 8 games in a row, and with the Mets losing, the Yankees now have the best record in the majors at 15-6. So they're on fire right now. You know, pitching has been solid. Bullpen has been solid. Thank you guys for giving us Miguel Castro, by the way. You know, he's been great out of the bullpen. But, yeah, man, the Yankees right now, they are clicking. And they might run away with this division. So tonight they won 3-0. Jericho pitched better than his previous couple starts. You know, I know a lot of people were panicking because they thought you know, he was going to have a bad year, but I mean, it's still early, so you can't panic, especially with Gerrit Cole, you know, who's one of the best pitchers in the baseball right now. So, but he ended up pitching a good game today, didn't give up any runs, and Yankees only scored 3 runs, but that was enough to win the game after beating the Royals 12-2 last night. I think they hit 4 home runs, 4 or 5 home runs last night against the Royals. But so with these first two wins of the series, they go for a sweep tomorrow. So Yankees, they're playing well. Can't complain right now.
Yeah, you're right, man. Gerrit Cole, you know, he improved to 2-0. You know, he allowed 5 hits, 2 walks, struck out 6. You know, in his performance, his wonderful performance. And, yeah, in these last 2 starts, he's only allowed 2 earned runs in the last 21 and a third innings. So, like you said, the Yankees are going to try to put the sweep on the Royals.
Yeah.
And Aroldis Chapman, you know, he threw a perfect 9th to get his 5th save of the season. And congrats to the Yankees.
Yeah, 8 in a row, 9 of our last 10 games that we've won.
Mm-hmm. And Miguel Castro, him and Clay Holmes threw a perfect inning. You know, they pitched, you know, a scoreless inning. So
yeah. So Yankees are playing great. They've got to keep it up. 15-6.
All rise. Your boy, you know, he hit 3 home runs in his last 4 games, 5
yeah.
of his last 7. So, you know,
showing that he deserves that big contract.
Mm-hmm. And hopefully this time he'll sign it.
I would have been signed that.
Yep. So yeah, tomorrow's game, Luis Severino tries to improve to 3-0 with a 3.32 ERA. And he's going to be battling Daniel Lynch, who's 2-1 with a 3.38 ERA. So, yeah, the Royals are going to try to avoid the sweep. And, of course, you know, the Yankees, they hope to bring and use the broom tomorrow afternoon. So we'll see what happens. But, yeah, shifting gears to football, and, man, What an NFL draft that was. That was insane, man. Especially the New York teams, they really brought it. You know, your boys, the Giants, they drafted Thibodeau.
It's a big first night.
Mm-hmm. The Jets, they got the sauce. You know, Sauce Gardner. This guy, you know, he didn't even allow a touchdown in his you know, his college that year. So I mean, they just improved. And then of course they drafted the receiver Wilson. So that Wilson combination should be a thing of beauty this upcoming season. And I mean this, and then the Jets and the Giants made a rare trade with each other. So the Jets could get another first round pick. And I think that was the 26th pick they got.
Yeah.
I think they drafted, was it John, I think Johnson?
26, they drafted
Johnson,
Jermaine Johnson.
Second. Yeah, man, so I mean, all in all, you know, you gotta love the moves that the Jets and the Giants made in the draft. They addressed the needs that the, you know, both teams needed, and you know, look like they're moving the right direction with these young quarterbacks. You know, with Wilson and Jones. So now they got. And he got some young players to, you know, build around a team with. And hopefully it'll be, you know, lead to a recipe for success for both teams.
Yeah, that was the first great night. You know, Giants, they got their defensive end, Thibodeau. They got that offensive tackle several picks later. I think they had their first good night. And overall, I think they've addressed their needs. We'll see if they sign any free agents now.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, we'll definitely find out very soon enough, you know, this off season.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of which, you know, shifting gears again with the off season in the NBA, it's not officially an off season. You know, it's still in the playoffs. You know, got some interesting matchups. The Jazz got knocked out, you know, so Donovan Mitchell, now there's rumors that he doesn't want to squash the rumors of him demanding a trade. You know, he said, you know, give him a week, you know. So yeah, the Knicks rumors, you know, he's not gonna quench the hot stove of the rumors, the NBA, you know, rumors of a potential trade in the off season, you know, come July. But yeah, he got knocked out. Him, you know, his team and the, you know, the Jazz got eliminated by the Mavericks, if I'm serving me right. And Jalen Brunson, another Nick, potential Nick, they're, you know, knocked them out. So, yeah, the Knicks are very, organization are definitely keeping an eye out for all these players in the, in the playoffs. What's your thoughts on this NBA postseason so far?
It's been a good playoff so far. You know, last night I was watching that Minnesota Grizzly game. You know, T-Wolves had a chance to win all the games in that series, but they blew it. They blew it in the second half. So Grizzlies, they move on, and they will be playing. I think they're playing against the Warriors the next round, and the Suns. They're gonna be playing Mavericks in the Eastern Conference. You got the Sixers against the
Heat,
and then the Bucks against the Celtics. Mm-hmm. So you got some good matchups, you know, going forward. Mm-hmm. Celtics are playing, you know, like the best team in the playoffs right now.
Oh, yeah.
They swept the Nets.
Demolished the Nets.
Yeah. And they're going to have a tough task dealing with Giannis and the Bucks, but the Bucks are without Middleton for this entire second round, so that might hurt them. So Celtics, Celtics might go to the NBA Finals. They have a chance to this year.
Definitely. They definitely do.
They have a good team. very good team to go to the finals.
Yeah. I feel like we might have a Warriors-Celtics finals right now.
Honestly, or Suns. Or Suns-Celtics.
Yeah. I mean, Suns are trying to, you know, they are the defending Western Conference champions, so they're trying to get back there.
Yep, with CP3.
Mm-hmm. So no surprise there. So, yeah, you got Warriors, Grizzlies, Suns, Mavericks. You got the Bucks, the Bucks and Celtics, and then 76ers Heat. Yeah, that those Eastern Conference matchups, those conference semifinals, man, they sound like 80. Well, I guess you could say 90 teams.
Yeah,
basically.
Yeah,
minus the Knicks. You know, or you can even say the 70s with the Bucks and Celtics right there.
Right, yeah.
You know, 76ers Heat, Bucks Celtics. Yeah, man. We'll find out who's going to advance. Yeah, but the Nets, man, like, well, what a disappointment. This whole season was an utter disaster. Like, you know, Kyrie Irving, you know, he wasn't able to play, you know, because, you know, he was on vaccinated, you know, James Harden basically forcing his way to 76ers. Kevin Durant deferring to Kyrie, who basically wasn't there for most of the year for the aforementioned reason. And and then they traded away Harden, who clearly didn't want to be there, for a dude who, I don't know, man. It just seems like he don't want to be in the NBA no more. It looks like me and you are gonna play in the NBA next year before Ben Simmons.
Yeah.
Like, is he really hurt this badly? That was like anti-realist, you know, game seven. Like, game four was supposed to be his Willis Reed moment. Like, not only it would have been like a Willis Reed moment, that would have literally been his debut. I mean, that would have been a whole lot of pressure, you know, on the guy. Making his debut in the playoffs in the elimination game. But, man, you know, you don't just dangle that carrot, you know, or in the Charlie Brown, you know, you have that football and you hold it up for Charlie Brown to kick it, and then the very last second you just throw it away, and then, you know, then you got egg on your face or dirt all over your face. Like, come on, man. You don't tease something like that, that he's going to do it, and then, oh, he has back spasms. He's not going to make his debut. I mean, this is the difference between, like, I mean, the modern-day athletes, you know, they're very physically strong, you know, but it's like a different mentality, man. It's like, They don't want to play hurt. Like, Jordan played, scored 55 points with a flu. This dude couldn't. I mean, I'm on his body, so, you know, who knows? He could seriously be hurt, or, you know. But, like, come on, this was your game seven moment, you know, in game four of the playoffs, the first round. Like, come on, like, you better be really, really hurt. Like, you know, wheelchair and crutches or something for you not to play that game. Like,
his mental toughness is being questioned now.
It is.
Does this guy even want to play now?
I know.
He hasn't played since last year.
Yeah, man. I really don't know. Like, I thought him getting traded to the Nets would have motivated him to come back. I mean, I don't know. Maybe he's still really hurt. I don't know. Like, it's just very puzzling. It's
like Carl Pavano.
What you said?
Like Carl Pavano.
Carl Pavano, yeah. Oh, man. The Cole Obi Wan.
Jacoby Ellsbury.
Now, that's a name I haven't heard in a while. Like, man. And for real, those dudes be, like, always hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Carl Pavano, oh, my goodness, yo.
Jacoby Ellsbury.
Jacoby Ellsbury. Yeah, for the Mets, that would be what's his name? Jed Lowry. This dude was an all-star with the A's. What was it, 3 years ago? Mets signed him for 2 years. This dude probably only played like 9 games. Like the whole this dude pulled a Jerome James on us, man. For folks who don't know, man, Jerome James, he was a center. He played for the Seattle Supersonics. The Knicks signed him as like this big free agent signing. And 1 year, I kid you not, folks, this dude had a $5 million contract. And that year, if my memory serves me right, this dude only played 5 minutes the whole season. So he literally had like $1 million a minute.
Wow. Like,
double check. But from my memory, I could have sworn this guy only played for like 5 minutes and made $5 million. Like, that's a sweet deal. Like, I need his agent.
Yeah, I need that. I need that deal.
My goodness.
Take that right now.
Wow. Like, that is, yeah, but, yeah, Ben Simmons, man. Like, hopefully he can make a comeback next year. He might even win Most Improved Player of the Year. You know, it happened with Randall. And then now Randall looks like all the rumors are pointing that he wants to, you know, he wants to be leave New York. Almost as bad as Russell Westbrook wants to leave, the Lakers.
The Lakers, yeah.
Yeah, man. And that's what I was saying for, like, in the trading deadline, as bad as Russell Westbrook is, and I did backtrack, you know, at one point, but, you know, I wouldn't mind circling the wagon for that, you know, because I know he's going to be horrible. You know, who knows, he might catch a lightning in a bottle. He's an aging star. He has, knee problems. But the best case scenario is you're going to have a $47 million, expiring contract, you know, and then you'll have cap space, you know.
Really want Westbrook on this team?
I mean, that's a $47 million expiring contract, you know. That okay. could, you know. And who knows, like, this guy, you know, you might catch a lightning in a bottle with this guy.
We're
going
to have to clear
shot.
Space in order to get him, though.
What you said?
Well, so you would trade Randall for him, or, like, how would you get him?
I would trade Randall for him, straight up. Like, I would assume there would have to be one more person, but as long as you don't give up, obviously, Barrett or Toppin or Quickly, I mean, I wouldn't give up Sims let me think off the top of my head. Yeah, I guess anybody else I would assume realistically they probably would want Burke back. They would want Burke in that trade. I mean, he's been good for us, but I think he's – what isn't he an expiring contract also, maybe?
I'm not even sure, to be honest with you.
Oh, he has one more year left on his contract? I mean, yeah, Knicks, they need that, you know, they need to cut bait with Randall. Like, if they try to trade this guy, they're not going to get any – this is the best deal they could get, because if they get somebody, it's going to be like the Hugh Wing trade. You know, you're just going to get, Glenn Rice and Travis Knight and all these other dudes. You know, obviously Glenn Rice was a good player, you know, before he came to the Knicks, but, you know, it was, but then again, I guess maybe that could be arguments for, you know, against the Westbrook trade, but the only difference is that this is an expiring contract, you know.
Yeah.
So.
We'll see what happens with Randall in the offseason. You know, he wants out of New York, but then New York's going to have to find a way to trade him, just like they did with Porzingis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, to me, I think it's crazy because you're bringing back $47 million. I mean, you are bringing back a future Hall of Fame point guard. I mean, who knows? He could maybe, you know, show Quickly the ropes. I mean, Quickly, you know, in his last, what was it? I think the last two games he had like a triple-double, you know. Maybe he could, you know, Quickly looks like he's starting to get it. I mean, I'm afraid if the Knicks wants to improve their team, they're going to have to give up Quickly, and I wouldn't want to give up Quickly, Barrett, or Toppin. or even Sims. You know, I think they
can't give up the young guys.
That's what I'm saying. Like those guys, those guys to me are untouchable. Like Barrett is untouchable number one. Like that guy. Like Toppin showed like in the last couple of games he scored what 37 and 42 respectively. You know his career highs. Back to back games to end the season. I think we've been high on Toppin for a long time. You know, but now he's finally showing his potential. And then you got Quickly as well. He notched down a couple of triple doubles. So I think the Knicks would be dumb if they would trade any of those three, especially if they trade all three of them. Like you got to hold on to these guys because if you try to put all your eggs in the basket for free agency or trade those guys for a superstar, like we're going to be like the Nets. We're going to put all our
eggs in
the basket.
Don't be like the Nets.
Yeah, we'll be exactly like the Nets. You know, we'll put all our eggs in the basket. We're going to be a pretender win now team, and then we're going to get our butts knocked out of the first round, you know? So Knicks need to get their act together. And, once the Nets stay healthy, I mean, Durant, you know, he's that series with the Celtics, man, they were just pulverizing him, you know? Randall almost came into the game and pat him on the back and said, you know, I feel your pain, man, and then walked back into the front row. Like, that's how bad he was being destroyed in that playoffs. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, it's a weird situation in New York, man. Like the Knicks, they have some young guys now, but I'm afraid they're gonna blow it up to try to go for the win now thing. Would I love to see? Do I want them to go after Donovan Mitchell or Damian Lillard or somebody like that? Yeah, of course. But who are you gonna give up? And I don't think you should give up those guys, you know. And I'm a proponent for those guys. Those guys I want those guys to be on the team, but I don't think, especially RJ Barrett. RJ Barrett should not be in any of those deals. If you're talking to me and you want to make a trade and you want to ask for RJ Barrett, I'm gonna be like, I'm sorry, we're not giving them up.
We'll kick rocks.
Yep, but you could take Randall if you want, you know. But yeah, man, and I think Toppin and Quickly are like 1A of untouchables, you know, because I don't think they should get rid of those three guys as well.
Yeah.
But we'll see. Time will tell what they're gonna do with these teams, man. And then the Nets, man, they just, you know, they got to stay healthy. They got to stay healthy. And, and then I don't know. Whatever you get from Simmons is gravy because you don't even know if this guy's ever going to come back. He might be teammates with Frederick Weiss for all we know right now. Shoot, I mean, who knows?
Yep. That's right.
And, you know, then shifting gears. In wrestling, I don't know if you heard, but WWE, man, they made some budget cuts again. And
I heard that they cut some people. Yeah,
from
but mostly
NXT.
NXT.
Mm-hmm. The notable names is Dakota Kai. She was Raquel Gonzalez's best. Well, now Raquel Gonzalez is now Raquel Rodriguez. Because WWE doesn't want people using their real names anymore. So they changed her name to Raquel Rodriguez. So, yeah, her best friend / enemy, Dakota Kai, now she's released. And the rumor is that she was going to be released. She was going to ask to be released, released before she got cut anyway. So, she got her wish. And then Malcolm Bivens, from the Diamond Mine, he's a this guy was a really good manager down in NXT, and WWE just cut him. Like, this guy was, like, really good, man. Like, this dude was like a modern-day Slick, you know, and they cut him. Dexter Lumis, that was a very interesting character in NXT. They cut him as well. And they had this other guy, Harland, who he looked exactly like a young Brock Lesnar, and then they changed his look. And they were supposedly high on him too, but you know, they released him. But yeah, man, typical WWE, man. They just cutting people, and then you know, hey, what WWE considers trash is AEW's treasure. So.
Yeah, hopefully AEW is not going to be able to sign all these guys.
Tony Khan, man, he got that. He got that Steve Cohen / Elon Musk money. So he'll find a way. Shoot, but these billionaires, man, talking about Elon Musk. Before I dive right into this stuff, you know, as you all know, he bought Twitter. You know, to me, the sign of a billionaire is to buy, you know, a downtrodden team, you know, or, you know, preferably in New York, who hasn't won a title in, like, I don't know, 30-something, 40-something, or in this team's case, 50 years. And, of course, I'm talking about the New York Knicks. You know, if he's really a billionaire, put your money where your mouth is, Elon Musk, and buy the Knicks. Buy the Knicks from Dolan. Give him an offer he can't refuse, you know.
But what would Elon do with it, though? Does Elon even watch basketball?
Watch basketball? Other than sitting down and frowning, watching the games in the front row, sitting next to celebrities? Like, come on. Like,
I don't want someone who's actually invested in the team to buy the Knicks.
Well, of course, that's what I would want, too. But, you know, nobody want to buy the Knicks, you know, even though they're the number one valuable team, Forbes magazine-wise. Even though they haven't made it to the playoffs, and Lord knows, I mean, other than last year, you know, they only made it to the playoffs a handful of times, you know, in the past 20 years. So the Knicks, they need, like you said, they need a diehard Knicks fan, a billionaire diehard Knicks fan to buy the team, you know, be the answer, like, you know, like Steve Cohen is to the Mets, and that will revive the franchise, you know, but. Let's just hope Leon Rose and crew can, you know, won't blow up the team, that the young nucleus that we have, and keep the team. But we'll see.
By the way, I haven't seen this season of Young Rock, but I want to ask you a question.
Sure.
I mean, so now they have him in his adulthood.
They alternate back and forth because there's three versions. Well, actually, there's technically four versions of The Rock. You know, every episode, you know, he's running for president, and then he talks about a life lesson that he learned from the three stages of his life prior to the modern day Rock. Well, I guess futuristic Rock, because he's in 2032, you know, when he's looking back. So yeah, it's the young Rock. Well, yeah, hence the title. The teenager Rock, which is when he's in his 15, and then you have, you know, the wrestling era Rock, with the third Rock.
To me, I think they should have just, you know, they should have just kept him as a kid, and then show as he grows up into his teen years and so on, and then finally, you know, into his adulthood. I think just do it gradually. Why go switch back, alternate back and forth? It'd be confusing at times.
I see your point. But then again, it's kind of like Goldberg's, except obviously he's in the same age, same era, same age. You know,
Goldberg's doesn't do that. They don't alternate.
Well, they did do that in the beginning. Like, they'd be like 1980-something. That's why they never say, like, it's 1980.
No, they never did that. Goldberg's
yes,
never
they
did
do.
That.
Yes, they do, dude. Yes, they do.
No,
let me
Goldberg,
tell you why.
Goldberg started, I'm sorry, the family itself. The family, you saw them grow up as kids, and then they never
yes. Yes.
They never
yes,
actually
right.
revealed they don't reveal the year, of course.
Yes, you're right.
You see them get older. You see them age.
Correct.
Into their teen years, college. That rock show is something different. I mean,
however,
it's alternating between adulthood and their teens. You don't see that on Goldberg's.
Goldberg's
different.
You're right. They do. Obviously, they grow. They grew gradually because it's in the ninth season. They grew gradually.
Yeah.
But if you dissect the episodes, you will see it's different. It's different years. Like, for example. Yes,
it's
it is. Yes, it is. Let me tell you why.
I'm a big fan of Goldberg. So
I know you watch it more than I do, but when you watch some of the episodes, like depending on what year it is, you will see it's different years because that's what he says. It's 1980 something. Like one year they'll be talking about Ghostbusters, which is 1984, and then another year they'll be talking about when they lost the World Series, which would have been what, 83 or so. But like they it's never the same. It's not always the same year. You know what I mean?
The thing is with that show, like they don't reveal exactly when it is.
Yeah, exactly.
Because
that's
like,
the point.
But they don't alternate. They don't alternate like The Rock does.
Not decades. Yeah.
No, they don't.
They don't
do that. So
yeah, they don't do that. Right.
They keep it in the 80s, strictly in the 80s.
Exactly.
And actually maybe close to the 90s, I guess. Right now they're closer to adulthood.
80s and 90s, right.
Right now they're close to the 90s because they're older. So
right.
Like late 80s, I would say. But
right.
They don't alternate like what you're talking about on the
No, I wasn't saying like they have, because obviously they don't have three different actors or anything like that. I didn't mean it like that. I didn't mean like they have like different decades, different eras like Young Rock does, but I was saying, like, they have different years. It's not always the same year. That's what I'm saying.
They don't jump from, like, 89, from 86 to 89. They don't do that. Like, what they'll do is, like, for instance, like, they may mention, like, the 1985 World Series.
Mm-hmm.
And then they might bring up something about Back to the Future was, like, 86. But it'll still be close to that same time period, you know?
Right, right, right. Yeah, that was my point. That's what I was trying to say. But, yeah, I see your point, though.
Mm.
Because Young Rock, they do jump 80s and 90s. And, I mean, eventually they're going to go into 2000s because now they're finally diving into his him trying to make in WWE, which would be 95. But, yeah. But, like you
there was a show that did that back in the day. I think Young Indiana Jones did that.
Yeah, you know what? I just popped in my head. When you said there was a show that used to do that, that's the show that popped in my head.
Yeah.
Like, they literally had an episode where they had Harrison Ford reprise his role in one of the episodes. But, yeah, that you know what? That's the perfect example of what Young Rock is. It's like it chronicles his you know, the different eras in his life. But yeah, you hit it right on the head. That's the perfect example of what the Young Rock is doing.
Yeah, I haven't really watched it lately. I think the last episode I've seen of the Young Rock was probably episode 3 or 4 of the first season.
Oh yes. It's a great show. I mean, it's very, very funny. I mean, I'm not saying it, you know, because, you know, I'm a huge Rock fan, you know, but yeah, it's a real great show. Like, for instance, like, I didn't even know he knew Macho Man and Bam Bam Bigelow like that. Yeah, I mean, like, it really shows you know, behind the scenes, you know, of his life, and you know how he overcame this stuff. Like, even long before he had the $7 in his pocket, you know, it's definitely a very interesting show for sure. I mean, very funny. Definitely a highlight of the week. You know, to check out that show. It's very funny. Oh yeah, but More into going back into like modern day WWE. Trying to think what happened this week. Drew McIntyre beat Sami Zayn in a whatchamacallit, in a steel cage match. And you know, Roman Reigns and the Bloodline defeated. They beat up you know, the Team RK Bro. You know, because Team RK Bro and the Usos are going to be battling in a unification tag team match. What else happened? Ronda Rousey and Charlotte had beat the clock challenges, which Ronda Rousey won. And then Charlotte attacked Drew Gulag like 2 weeks in a row, but this time with the ring bell. And then
Asuka came back.
What did you say?
Asuka.
Oh yeah, on Raw, right? Yeah, she came back and she looked like she wants to renew her feud with Becky Lynch.
Yeah.
What other feud? Oh yeah, New Day versus Sheamus's group. I forgot the new name they gave it. But man, like, when is this rivalry gonna end?
Don't they look like the Newsies? Remember the Newsies?
yeah, that Disney movie. Especially Rich Holland with the hat, the newspaper boy hat. Oh my goodness, yo, paper boy, like that old school Nintendo and arcade game from like the 80s. maybe that's a game they should. Well, maybe they played it in Goldberg. For all I know, I missed a lot of episodes, so maybe that happened. But yeah, man. I mean, it wouldn't be a bad feud. You know, it wasn't a bad feud like WrestleMania wise, but it's like it's being beaten over to the death. Like, I understand Backlash is basically a rematch of WrestleMania, but then again, isn't Raw and SmackDown basically rematches of rematches from rematches of all the rematches that happened at WrestleMania? Because everybody keep battling each other all the time. Like WWE, it's like unwatchable right now.
Very
in my
predictable.
Opinion. It's too predictable. And then what was it last week? Rhea Ripley turned heel, and basically the same reason she was angry with Nikki A.S.H. is the same reason why she turned on Liv Morgan.
Liv Morgan.
She looks, like I said last week, she looks like a big hypocrite. Like WWE, man, what are you doing? Like seriously. Tell me. I guess that's about it in WWE. AEW, they had the Owen Hart tournament, and they had a great match. I think it was a qualifying match Basically, the members of FTR, you know, formerly of Revival, Dax Harwood and Cash Wheeler, they were battling it out so that they could earn the opportunity to fight in the tournament. And this is the first time that FTR ever fought each other, ever, to my knowledge, you know, because they've always been tag team partners in every organization they've been in, WWE, you know, obviously AEW. They've just been bouncing all over the place, you know. And this was the first time they ever fought each other. And Dax Harwood, he won the match in order to qualify for the Owen Hart match. So yeah, basically, yeah, here's what happened on AEW Dynamite. Blackpool Combat Club defeated The Factory, which has Nick Camarado, Aaron Solo, QT Marshall. Wardlow defeated Lance Archer, and MJFP is that basically Wardlow's going to fight Big Cass, but Big Cass, you know, formerly from WWE, now he goes by his real name, William Morrissey. Serena Deeb, she defeated Hikaru Shida, her longtime rival, in a Philly street fight. Undisputed Elite defeated the Varsity Blondes. Brock Anderson, which is Arn Anderson's son, Lee Johnson, and Dante Martin. And then Scorpio Sky, you know, defeated Sammy Guevara to become the new TNT champion. So, yeah, I thought it was a good, you know, episode of Dynamite. I can't remember what happened on what was the other show? Rampage. Yeah, Samoa Joe.
Rampage is the one on Friday, right?
Yeah. Samoa Joe defeated Ciampa, retained the ROH TV champion. Darby Allin defeated Swerve Strickland to advance in the tournament. Jade Cargill, you know, she remains undefeated. I think she's like 31-0. She has a new faction with Kira Hogan and her longtime former rival Red Velvet, and they defeated Trish Adora, Sky Blue, and Willow Nightingale. Keith Lee defeated Colton Gunn, son of Billy Gunn. And then, of course, to cap off the night, Samoa Joe defeated Trip Beretta to retain the ROH TV championship, like I mentioned not too long ago. So, yeah, that's basically what's going on in the world of sports, basically. Oh, I guess I can point out one thing. They released a new video for the Chippendale Rescue Ranger cartoon, that movie that's going to come out very soon. It was very funny, you know. I don't know if you – I think you saw the video too, right?
Yeah, I saw it.
And it looked like they, you know, they brought back the original voice actors, you know, briefly.
Yeah, I think I'm interested in seeing it now.
Yeah, even though I think Seth Rogen and I'm trying to remember who the other person is that are basically voicing the movie. But it looks like it's a, you know, funny movie. You know, obviously they're basically poking fun of the, you know, the old school show. But you're looking at, you know, wondering, it basically answers what happened to them after their show went off the air. So it's like a mix of Who Framed Roger Rabbit and I'm trying to think of another show and movie that's similar to. But yeah, I guess it's just, you know, what kind of show? Like, I guess like the VH1 shows like Behind the Music or those shows that are like Where Are They Now kind of shows. Oh, yeah, Oprah has, I guess, a show like that. But, yeah, basically, it looks very funny.
Can't wait.
Let me see. Who's voicing the characters? Yes, John Mulaney, Andy Samberg, Will Arnett. Oh yeah, Keegan Michael Kay is also in this. Seth Rogen. Yeah, it looks like looks funny. Basically, yeah, the old voice actors, they do make cameo appearances, but unfortunately, you know, they wanted to go in a different
direction.
So,
yeah.
You know, but it still looks funny. This is going to come out May 20th, Disney Plus. So that's definitely something to look forward to. And then I think May 28th, they have Obi-Wan finally come out. And it's going to be a two-hour episode.
Oh, that's great. I can't
order
that.
That's definitely something to look forward to. you know, hopefully they'll mostly focus on Obi-Wan and Anakin or what's going on with them 10 years after Revenge of the Sith. Because, you know, there's conflicting reports that, you know, they might focus more so on other characters or even the new character, Inquisitor character, Rhea. You know, but, you know, we'll see. We'll see what happens in a few weeks, since now it's May 1st now as we speak. So, yeah, basically it's May Day right now. So,
damn,
before we crash the show.
It was just January yesterday.
I know. It's almost summertime. We're, yeah. we just like the Temptation song.
Can't wait to look up girl skirts.
We got the month of May now, so.
Yep.
Anything you'd like to say before we head out?
Just check your local listings for my podcast, iMac, and come back here. Check out Sports Server Legend every Saturdays at 11, only on Block Talk Radio.
Yeah, you heard the man. Check out his show, iMac. Check out my YouTube channel, Sports Server Legend TV, and check out this show, Sports Server Legend, every Saturdays at 11, only on Block Talk Radio. He's Macaulay Matthew. I'm William Ramo. And I will see you guys next time. Peace. And,
ball game.
Why'd you lose all our cards? I tried my best.
Well, you lost all our cards.
Kids, good.
Go ahead, Doc. Do it.
Thrilling, awesome. Let's take a look.